We invite you to enjoy this sermon presented by the Reverend Bob Geckler on November 3rd, 2024 at the Wearsdale Presbyterian Church of Wearsdale, Florida. The title is Sinner or Saint?
Our Holy Gospel for today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 32 through 44. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of the Lord?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be with me in the spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture readings for today certainly give us some hope for a bright future. A rosy picture of the mountain of the Lord. A story of Lazarus coming back from the grave. It sounds promising. But where do we fit into all this? Today on the church calendar is celebrated in many churches as All Saints Sunday. It is also observed in many churches as Reformation Sunday, a time to celebrate the work of the many great reformers of the church over the centuries, and timed to remember the priest, theologian, and professor, Dr. Martin Luther, and his efforts in 1517 to bring about changes in the Roman Catholic Church of the day, and his posting on October 31st of 1517 of the 95 Theses, or Disputation on the Power and Efficacy of Indulgences, at the All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. Luther, like most other reformers, such as John and Charles Wesley, Barton Stone, John Calvin, Alexander Campbell, John Knox, and many others, was not trying to break up the established church, but wanted to bring about changes, something the church needs to this very day. For it is ideally a growing and changing organism in society, addressing the changing world around it. You and I are a part of that and have the responsibility to work always to improve the ministry of the church in our day. Sinner or saint. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. Those reformers surely were seen by many as sinners, heretics trying to bring down what God built up. Where are you in that spectrum? A saint? A sinner? Perhaps a bit of both. But what is a saint, at least in this context? I think we often picture saints as those very special holy people, sometimes portrayed in stained glass windows with their bright glowing halos. If the light hits just right, it might look like there's a halo above me, but I can assure you there is not. I think sometimes we think of saints as people who live their lives in a holy perfection. But I don't think that is very accurate, whether for the saints of old or those closer to us. If that holy perfection was the requirement, no one would be good enough. We are not called to be perfect. We are called to believe in and to follow Jesus. In Him comes the forgiveness that makes us new people, cleansed of the sin and evil that finds its way into all of our lives. In our gospel reading from John, we heard the story of the death of Lazarus. The characters in this story were dear friends of Jesus. Mary finds Jesus and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." There is a sort of mixture of faith and accusation in what she said. "You could have kept him from dying, but you weren't here." Can we blame her for feeling that way? Don't we sometimes feel that way? Our prayers are not always answered the way we want them to, or the way we would like. I know I have felt that way. But we have to remember that prayer is not some kind of magic wand to get what we want. Rather, we ask God, "Not my will, but your will be done." Which brings us to the shortest Bible verse. Jesus wept. But why did he weep? Perhaps he was sad to see how upset Mary and Martha were. Maybe sad because he didn't get there to change the course of events. Maybe sad that his dear friend Lazarus had to go through this darkness. Maybe all of these. Clearly, Jesus felt emotions just as we do. He was, after all, human. Some of those nearby took the opportunity to question why Jesus hadn't kept Lazarus from dying. Of course, they didn't understand that God's ways are not their ways. You and I don't do much better in that regard either. Too often, we think we know better than God what the right path is. When Jesus asked that they take the stone away from the grave tomb, Martha protested that it will smell terrible as Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. She, like Mary earlier, still didn't see that Jesus knew what he was doing, not just for them, but for us. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? He asked. He thanked God for hearing him and told them that he thanked God so that those present would know and believe that God sent him. Lazarus came out from the tomb alive again. That story does not mean that Lazarus would not eventually physically die again, but tells us of the saving power of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That death has no power over God, and that through our faith and belief in Jesus, death has no power over us. Several verses before the gospel reading I shared with you, in John chapter 11, verses 25 through 27, we hear that Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live even though they die. And those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she answered. "I do believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." That is a powerful statement of trust and belief, a statement we too are called to be able to make. Can we? Do we have that strong faith that Martha had? As a slight aside, the terms Christ and Messiah both mean essentially anointed one or chosen one. Christ, coming from the Greek, somewhat later usage, especially after Jesus' crucifixion. Messiah comes from the Aramaic or Hebrew, more contemporary to Jesus. The title Messiah for Jesus only appears a couple of times in the Gospels, depending somewhat on the translation. And ladies, it's significant that one of those declarations comes from a woman, Martha. Of course, the women were also the first ones at the tomb on Easter morning, but that's a story for another day. All Saints' Day is often a time when we remember those who went before us, especially those who are no longer with us. We celebrate the faith they had and that they shared with us. Perhaps parents and grandparents, maybe teachers and pastors, those reformers in the history of the church, or others who helped to shape our lives of faith in Jesus. It could be someone great or someone seemingly small. For me, one of those people was Al, our church sexton and custodian. He was a man who had little but shared generously. Some folks looked down on him, but he was a man of incredible faith whose memory inspires me to this day. I can still see him singing hymns as he went about his work at the church. All Saints' Day can seem like it would be a sad day, but it shouldn't be. It should be a day to rejoice for those saints of God who went ahead of us. In our Old Testament reading from Isaiah, we heard, "The Lord Almighty will prepare a feast, a banquet. He will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces." My brothers and sisters, the power of death will be no more. We will live with those saints before us. That is the promise we have from our risen Lord Jesus. From the Epistle to the Hebrews, we hear these words. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered the God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. Interestingly, that epistle, the Epistle to the Hebrews, was believed by many scholars to have been written by a woman, Priscilla, the only New Testament book so attributed. We are sinners, each and every one of us. That is a part of our nature as human beings. But through the power and blessing of Jesus, we can join that blessed communion, that fellowship divine, where all are one in Christ, as our hymn says. Yes, we are sad thinking of those no longer with us. But be happy, for those who died in faith will indeed be in that blessed and joyous company of saints. That's a promise. Amen. Please be with me again in prayer. Lord Jesus, you promise us eternal life with you. Our calling is to follow you faithfully and fully. Grant your Spirit to be with us, to guide us, and to help us to be your saints in this life and the next. In your holy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have heard a sermon delivered on November 3rd, 2024 at the Wearsdale Presbyterian Church of Wearsdale, Florida by the Reverend Bob Geckler. The title was Sinner or Saint? Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.